إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Brothers, I remind you that talking is not allowed during the khutbah. Please don't interrupt the khutbah because you lose all your ajr for the Jummah khutbah. إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, speaking about the life of the great ulama of Islam is not an easy thing to do, because no matter what we say about their life or what we grasp from some of the aspects of their life, we can never encompass their virtues. In fact, one may speak at length about one of the ulama and not even cover the most virtuous and important aspect of his life. And yet, it is important for us to study the way of life of these early pious ulama. The reason for that is that they are the example par excellence. They are the perfect example for our youth. They show us a way to follow for our youth. Because our youth, if they take the evil people as their example, the evil people of this dunya, that have no positive role to play in their lives, nor do they have any impact on history, then they will have taken a bad example. But by studying the life of the noble ulama, by studying their example, by mentioning their example, then our youth can learn, can take example from people who are righteous, and can follow in their footsteps. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, studying their way of life is an encouragement for each and every one of us. And the prophets are the inheritors of the prophets, they left behind the inheritance of ilm. وَالْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ The scholars, they inherited the knowledge from the prophets, and they teach people the commandments of Allah. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the subject of today's khutbah is that great imam who grew up in the city of the Prophet ﷺ. The great imam whose name is elevated and whose very mention brings with it blessing, whose knowledge has filled the earth. The imam whose knowledge has filled the earth. Brother, this is the last time I'm going to ask. Can you please leave the door? The brother's by the door there. Come here, come closer. Second time you interrupted the khutbah. The third time is enough. Please come here closer. Yes, brothers by the door, come here closer. The imam whose knowledge has filled the earth. Imam Malik, whose knowledge has filled the earth. Today's khutbah is about that Imam whose knowledge has filled the earth. We mentioned the Imam Malik, and he was such a great Imam, so knowledgeable, that when people say the Imam of Dar al-Hijrah, the Imam of Medina, or the scholar of Medina, we need not mention his name. People know that this was the Imam of Medina, Imam Malik. Malik ibn Anas, he grew up in the city of Medina, and in spite of his poverty, he devoted his life to knowledge. He devoted himself to the seeking of beneficial knowledge. His mother gave him a very good upbringing. She would tell him, go to the masjid and learn from Rabia. Take your notebook and learn from him. And learn from his manners. Learn from his manners before you learn from his knowledge. And this mother, she was a wise woman. She knew that knowledge without any manners bring no benefit to a person. His mother was a wise woman, for she knew that knowledge without manners would have no benefit for a person. And she knew her role in life. She knew her role, which is to bring up a righteous child, the upbringing and the grooming of the youth. She knew that if knowledge had the good companion of manners, it would be valuable. And so she molded her child. She molded Imam Malik, and as such, she molded the entire Ummah. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, an important point for us to reflect upon is that the role of a mother is not simply to protect her child from getting sick, protect him from diseases, and to feed his body. But the role of the mother is to nurture her child by giving him, instilling in him, imbuing in him righteous manners, and strengthening his character, and strengthening his intellectual ability, and strengthening his faith in his iman, in nurturing her child to have high aims in life, to have high goals in their life. This is the role of the mother. And this can only be done and carried out by a mother if she puts the priority of her children over the worldly priorities. If she prioritizes the upbringing of her children over anything else. This is the only way that she can instill these values in her child. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Imam Malik, he said to one of his students, a young youth, go and learn manners before you learn knowledge. Learn behavior, manners before you learn knowledge. And he knew, one of his students, Yahya ibn Yahya al-Tamimi, he said, I stayed with Malik, and when I finished my studying from him, I spent an entire year taking from his adab, his manners and character. And I saw that his manners were the same manners of the Sahaba and those who followed them. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the modern education system, it separates manners from teaching. And this is the grave consequence. When we separate manners from education, what happens is you produce a child who does not benefit from their knowledge. When we separate character and behavior and akhlaq from knowledge, you produce a child who learns but does not benefit from that knowledge. And therefore, knowledge should not be separated from manners. We see kids who learn the knowledge, we see youth that learn knowledge, but it has no effect on their behavior and on their actions. Therefore, There is no good in knowledge that is deprived of good manners. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the product of learning knowledge without manners is that we see people who grow up and argue with the ulama and fight with them. People who grow up and argue with their parents and are rude to them. The product of learning knowledge without learning manners is that it leads to rude behavior and forbidden types of clothing. Kids or youth that learn knowledge without the manners and adab, whatever knowledge they have, their clothing doesn't reflect it. Their behavior doesn't reflect it. Their way they treat their parents and elders does not reflect it. And you might see some of them physically or by words attacking their teachers and their ulama. This is the result of knowledge without manners. This is what Imam Malik warned against. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the environment of the city of the Prophet ﷺ had a great impact on the life of Imam Malik. He grew up in the masjid, in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, taking from the best ulama of his time. It was flourishing with scholars. Dozens of durus were offered, and these were the best caliber of ulama that the world had seen. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Muslim children must be kept in a good Islamic environment so that they learn the religious and moral qualities that will make them have good manners. What good is teaching a child knowledge in the morning when in the afternoon he goes in a bad environment and loses everything that he learned of manners and morals in the morning? What good is bringing up a child with manners and adab and akhlaq and knowledge when in the end the father sends him away to an evil place where he forgets everything that he learned? What good is that? Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Imam Malik was very cautious in issuing fatwa. In fact, he did not sit to give fatwa or rulings until 70 of his ulama told him to go forth and do so. What a difference between somebody who ulama, whose teacher sent him forth to tell him to teach, and those who put themselves forward and attribute to themselves the right to give rulings in the religion of Allah. Imam Malik, he says about himself, "It is not anyone who would like to sit in a mosque and teach hadith and give fatwa that are worthy of that. Let the one who wants to sit for fatwa first seek the advice of the knowledgeable and righteous people. If they see that he is fit for it, then let him do so. And I did not sit to teach hadith until 70 scholars attested to my worthiness of that." Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, what a difference between Imam Malik, whose very name and mention energizes the souls of people, and the people whose names deaden the heart and whose company brings death to the heart. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, when we remember Imam Malik, we contemplate our imams, we get benefit from that. When we contemplate the life of Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi'i and Ahmad ibn Hanbal, then these high scholars of repute, we learn not only from their ilm, but from their piety, their fear of Allah, from their manners, their adab and their akhlaq. We learn from their asceticism, their zuhud. We learn from their taqwa. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, it is a mistake for anybody to put down any ulama or think one is better than the other. All of the ulama, we should honor them and not put one down and respect one over the other. Because knowledge is a gift from Allah. Knowledge is a blessing that Allah bestows upon people whom He pleases. Whenever Imam Malik was asked a question, sometimes they would come to him and ask him for a ruling. And he would say, "Let me think about it for a while. Let me pause and think about my answer." The questioner would go away, and his students would say, "Why did you tell him that you need to think about it? Such a great alim, couldn't he give an answer?" He said, "I fear the day when I will be questioned. I fear the day, the terrible day, when there will be a questioner who asks me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, this was the erudite scholars, the manner of the sagacious scholars who filled the dunya with their ilm. This is the way that they had, they dealt with their knowledge and their good deeds. Yet you see some people who desecrate the ilm, who do not have knowledge of rulings of halal and haram, yet they give their personal opinion on the topic. There might be an issue in Islamic law, and then the gathering that they have, they don't leave until one says, "My opinion is this. I feel this is the answer. According to my opinion, I believe this." Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Since when did the rulings of Islamic law become subject to the opinions and whims of people? If your child, if someone was sick, would he go to an engineer to give him medicine? Would he trust the engineer to cure his child? Yet you see people desecrating their ilm, who have not studied the law of Islam and imposing what is halal and haram according to their personal opinions. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, some issues are so complex that even Umar ibn al-Khattab, the one who the Prophet ﷺ said, if there was a Prophet after me, it would have been Umar. When these issues came up, he gathered all of the Sahaba together and took their opinions, their knowledge on those issues. He didn't give a ruling himself. Yet some people, they hasten to give rulings without any Islamic knowledge of haram and halal. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, when it comes to issues of Islamic belief, when it comes to matters that evidence is clear in the Quran and Sunnah, when it comes to ijma' or consensus of the scholars, there is no room for personal opinion. These issues must be followed according to the evidences and according to what the scholars have said. Therefore, we must learn, each and every one of us must learn from the ulama what is halal and haram, and not give rulings upon which we have no knowledge. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين استغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه وسلم. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the lessons from the life of Imam Malik. One, that we learn that the scholars are the example for our youth. They are the role model that our youth need to look up to. Not the evil and wicked people of this world who bring no benefit, not in their lifetime, nor does history ever make mention of them. We learn the importance and the role of mothers in the upbringing of the child, and that her role is not simply to feed a child, but to develop his moral and character and strengthen his personality and give him strong goals and raise his himmah, his aspiration, and strengthen his faith. We learn from the life of Imam Malik the importance of adab and manners, and that he told the youth, learn manners before you learn knowledge. What good is knowledge without manners? What good is knowledge when one desecrates the knowledge through ill behavior. And knowledge without manners leads to ill akhlaq and behavior. The modern educational system, we see how the youth learn, but they dress in inappropriate ways. They argue and desecrate in front of their teachers and mock their teachers and harm them, either physically or verbally. And they do not benefit from that knowledge. The knowledge doesn't affect their character and their personality. We learn from the life of Imam Malik, his hesitation to give fatwa, to give ruling, that he was afraid to speak about Allah and His Messenger until 70 ulama put him forth to speak about what is halal and haram. We learn from the life of Imam Malik that we should respect our sagacious teachers, because mentioning their story, mentioning them, brings life to the heart, and mentioning or being in the company of people of dunya kills the heart. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Imam Malik was sick for 22 days and then he passed away at the age of 87. Nafi', his famous student, said, Malik died at the age of 87 and he lived in Medina as its mufti for 60 years. 60 years he was the mufti of Medina. May Allah have mercy on Imam Malik, for he used to say, I met some people in Medina who had no faults, but they spoke about the faults of others, and then people attributed faults to them. And I met people in Medina who had faults, but they kept silent about the faults of others, and so the people kept off from speaking about their faults. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اشفي مرضانا اللهم اشفي مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم أصلح شبابنا وشباب المسلمين اللهم أصلح نساءنا وأمهاتنا يا رب العالمين اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. استوى تدري الحمد لله استوى لا تختلف أثابت الله الله أكبر
الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. اللهم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.